folks, welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul. Melody probably will join us a little bit later. So bear with me for a while if you don't mind. This is, I cannot believe it already, but the 23rd day of September 2019. And this is Financial Survival. I'm glad you're with me for a little bit. Melody, please, I said, join us a little bit. I'll do my best to to do what she does. You know, folks, she's been in the economics business, in the money business, in the gold and silver business for 20-some years, I believe it has been. And I know it's hard to believe when she's only 39 years old, right? But anyway, been in business a long time. So when it comes to understanding economics, precious metals, Melody Seastrom is one of the best. And that's a fact. I know that I remember back when she introduced me to Bob Chapman a long time ago. I was impressed with Bob and what he could do. So I don't even claim to be anywhere near their have anywhere near their qualifications to speak on the economics, but I do the best I can from a hillbilly viewpoint and old preacher viewpoint. I try to bring in common sense and hopes of some good ways to help you understand what's happening, because somebody told me, well, you sure do explain simple enough so folks understand that. So that's because I'm a simple guy. I understand it simply, so I just explain it the way I understand it. If that helps, that's great. I hope I'm not flying under your radar instead of over. But anyway, we'll start as always with the markets, as Melody does. Get into that, and I have to say, silver and gold had a pretty good day today. They did. Gold was up $6.10 to $1,523.80. I don't think gold will go below this is my opinion. As I always say, my opinion, $1.50 by a cup of coffee about anywhere. But I don't think it'll go over 1500 to mount anything ever again. I don't think so. I think it'll just keep edging up a little more all the time. So it's up $6.10, $1523.80. Silver's up a good hit on silver, 65 cents. 1864. Now, some months ago, folks, you could have bought a silver eagle for around $18. They're going to pay $21 for them. And why we put off purchasing gold and silver, I don't know, because the prices will never, ever go to nothing. And it certainly is not, I don't think, come back down for a long time. Palladium was up $12 at $9.62. I'm sorry, platinum. Platinum was up $12, $9.62. Palladium was up $27 to $16.57. Rhodium, $5,400. Wow. And oil was down 4 cents, $58.09. You know, it's amazing how I watched the prices of gasoline here jump from up 14 cents, roughly. Even though Saudi Arabia says they had the lines fixed already and the prices started coming back down almost immediately, gas still went up and no prices come back down yet. It's amazing how quick they go up and how slow they come down, isn't it? The Dow gained 49.19 points to close at 26,984.26. NASDAQ gained 16.84 to close at 81,34.51. S&P 500 gained 6.14 to close at 29,98.21. So those are the markets. But folks, I would urge you again, as I always do, call Melody Seastrom at 800-375-4188. Ask her about getting in, if you have to, in the bottom rung on gold and silver. I know all the years I've tried to buy some, I could not buy much at a time. But the little bit I could purchase when I could purchase, folks, paid off. I mean, would you believe when I started buying silver dollars, they were $3 a piece, now they're about $21. That's not a bad gain, is it? If you put $3 in a bank 20 years ago, what would you have today in interest? Think about the difference, my friends. Seriously, think about that, because your future may depend on it. With the way things in this country are today and around the world, so unstable and so iffy, anything can happen anytime. And even though we'll say the powers that try to run it may try to keep a hand on it and keep the reins tight on situations, there are things they cannot control completely that can make the whole thing just shift way off center, way off plumb line to a point that would really make a difference in all of our lives. But I want to start off I think is excellent news, if you don't mind. It concerns Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A, as you know, a couple years ago or so, come under a hard attack by the LGBT community, by the homosexuals and the lesbians and the other perverts, and come in under a strong attack because the guy that runs it said, Dan Cathy says he believes in the family. He doesn't believe in same-sex marriage. Well, let me just tell you what's happened. Eight years ago, boycotts were launched against Chick-fil-A, a restaurant after homosexual rights activists protested the company's support of pro-family group, and the son of the founder made a statement in support of traditional marriage. The result? The chain sales have more than doubled to $10.5 billion in 2018, up nearly 17% from the year before, making it the third largest fast food restaurant behind only Starbucks and McDonald's. And Starbucks, by the way, said three years ago that Christians were not welcome in their store. I never went to Starbucks, and I'm not going to go to Starbucks. The Washington Examiner said the chain has opened nearly 700 more locations in recent years. I wish there were one close to where I live. The controversy began when a homosexual issues blog, Tower Road, posted the headline, "If you're eating at Chick-fil-A, you're eating anti-homosexual." And now this says gay. I won't use the word gay to describe a sexual pervert. It was in response to the company's support of a seminar hosted by Pennsylvania Family Institute, which opposes same-sex marriage. A short time later, Dan Cathy, the son of the founder of Chick-fil-A, said he was guilty as charged when asked about the opposition to same-sex marriage. Folks, this is a huge, huge comment in the right direction. Chick-fil-A has prospered. Its sales have doubled to over $10.5 billion since this happened. In 2018, $10.5 billion, up 17%, and third to Starbucks and McDonald's. That is quite an accomplishment. On the other hand, you have Burger King, who's taken apart the word ham, H-A-M, ham, out of hamburger, and only saying burger so that they don't want to offend the Muslims. This is what I'm saying about the division and the chaos in this country. It's amazing how it bounces back and forth from good common sense to complete idiocy in the same time period. I mean, it really and truly is. It's just hard to wrap your mind around the idea that one company takes a moral stand and blossoms. That one is so far gone to the left that it will no longer call a hamburger because it may offend Muslims. Oh, God help us. But anyway, you heard, of course, controversy about Trump on the phone with the Ukrainian president and what he said about Biden or Biden's son or whatever is going on there, and it's on and on and on and on and on. And folks, I am not a Trumpeteer, so to speak, but I will tell you, Trump has caught a lot of flack over things that others have done that his was not nearly as bad as their predicaments. What he said does not equal a lot of things Obama said. But Obama was ignored, swept under the rug. I remember one time Obama's being interviewed, and he said to the interview, "The American people don't seem to hold anything against my Muslim religion." Then the reporter said, "You mean Christian?" "Oh yeah, Christian." But no, that was just boop going, forgot about. Well, Trump admits he discussed Biden in call with Ukrainian president. President Trump admitted Sunday that he discussed the Joe Biden in a phone call with newly elected Ukrainian president. I'm going to butcher this name, I know, Volodymyr Zelensky, in July, seemingly confirming reports that he discussed a potential investigation into domestic political opponent with a foreign leader. The conversation I had was largely congratulatory with largely corruption, all the corruption taking place, and largely the fact that we don't want our people like Vice President Biden and his son to the corruption already in Ukraine, contributing to corruption already in Ukraine, Mr. Trump told reporters at the White House before departing on a trip to Texas. Well, another tie into that, Giuliani, Trump's lawyer, who, by the way, is also a cross-dresser, but anyway, hits both Bidens, Hunter and Joe, with new $3 million Ukraine Latvia Cyprus money laundering accusation. Rudy Giuliani leveled serious new claims at the Bidens in a series of Monday morning tweets. Chief among them is a claim that three men was laundered to former Vice President Joe Biden's son Hunter via Ukraine Latvia Cyprus U.S. route, a revelation he claims was kept from you by swamp media. I understand that Trump's going to release the information about what he said. He's going to release the document about that, what he said on the phone. And apparently Giuliani is saying, yeah, we need to uncover the fact that Hunter Biden and his daddy involved in corruption. I do know that the reporter, the gentleman that worked with Biden's group, corporation, whatever, who kind of brought this out, was fired not too long after he mentioned about this happening. So it's interesting, folks, to say that there is cover up and dirt on about all these politicians is an understatement. There's no way that we could even comprehend what goes on behind closed doors with these politicians, and we'll say especially the career politicians. Maybe some of them will say the lower ones and the new ones perhaps are trying to do some things right. But the career politicians have been involved in so many things that if you and I could uncover it all, it'd be like peeling an onion. They just make your eyes water as you get the deeper you go. And I'd say that's true of all of them. I really would. And I don't know how to even say that except this way it is. To think that we could go through Washington, D.C. and come up with half of them being straightforward, honest people in their dealings with this country and the citizens of this country and their businesses, I think it will be highly naive. I think y'all realize that too. Obviously you do. Now, you know, Trump was elected against all odds in 2016. A lot of people were totally surprised he was elected. And, of course, it's been said that he lost a popular vote. But he won an electoral vote. I really don't know enough about that to say. And do I trust voting? No, I don't. Do I think the votes are counted accurately? No, I don't. Do I think that they are manipulated by computers? Absolutely, I do. Do I think they'll go back to paper ballots and count them by hand? I certainly do. Is that going to happen? Certainly not, because that would they couldn't swing too many elections in their favor or against their opponent. But since Trump's got elected, he's drawn a lot of flack. Whether you agree or disagree with him, Trump has been a target for the last 3 years, more than any president that I know in my lifetime. And folks, I'm not a kid anymore. I'm 71. So I've never seen a president draw as much flack. Even Reagan didn't draw this much flack. Whether it's good or bad, I don't know. Whether it's show or for real, I have no idea. But it's happening. But 4 in 10 House Republicans in office when Trump was inaugurated have quit or lost their seats. Is that a sign of things to time to come? I don't know. You know, this coming, 2020 is almost here. You see the line of candidates on the Democratic side. All of them just absolutely scare me to death. How do I put this? As I said, I'm not a Trumpeteer, but you've heard, and I will vote independent. I have for a long time. I'm not ashamed of that. As a matter of fact, I'm proud of that. But we know Trump somewhat. These guys running on the other ticket, who knows where they're going to go? But it says, so far, 18 House Republicans have announced that they are resigning, retiring, or seeking another office, including longtime GOP stalwarts, some of the few GOP congresswomen, and the lone black Republican congressman. And that just scratches the surface, the Washington Post reports. All told, 41 House Republicans have left national politics or announced that they won't seek re-election in the nearly 3 years since President Trump took office, dwarfing the 25 Democrats who retired between 2009 and 2013. Republicans probably predict this is the only beginning. If we go back a little while, if you can remember Newt Gingrich, some of y'all are not old enough to remember that, but I remember back in the 90s, Newt Gingrich come out and they were going to sweep the House. They were going to clean the Senate and the House. They were going to put in Republicans. They were going to turn this country around, bring it back to some kind of sound government, bring it back to the Republican type of government, perhaps, which is, by the way, constitutional government. So they did. They swept the House, both House and Senate. Guess what? nothing changed. Well, Trump's elected in 2016, and they swept the House and Senate again, brought in a majority of both, even in some of the states, including West Virginia, for the first time since 1930s. Republicans took over the state of West Virginia. True. Even our governor, who was elected Democrat, switched to Republican a couple years ago, a year and a half ago. And with all the Republicans in office for 2 years under Trump, not a whole lot got done that's going to change anything, did it? No. Trump didn't get his wall up. They didn't totally defund Planned Parenthood. That a lot of things that didn't happen that was going to happen if Republicans took over. However, I will say this, since West Virginia has become a Republican majority, a lot of good things have happened here. We now have constitutional carry in this state. You can carry concealed or open without a permit. Economically, things are looking a little better. Under Obama, the coal mines are being shut down with the new administration. We're getting coal mines back up. Roads are being fixed, and things look a little better. I have to say that sincerely. When one of our reps were asked a while back whether they're going to pass a red flag law, he said, no, we're going to stay to the Constitution. So that's wonderful. But again, in Trump's situation, nothing changed in the 2 years that they controlled the House and Senate to speak of. And now the Republicans are leaving their House representatives, as you heard, about 41 altogether changing and leaving. So that might be a poor sign for the upcoming election as far as Republicans go. Now, I'm not here to preach politics to you. It's up to you what you want to do. Personally, I don't see a lot of change in either direction on these two main parties. But of all the times, I think, in history, as Melody said, and I say it also, if we could find a third-party candidate and he had enough backing to have the funds to do something and say he's going to do the right thing about this country, actually go back to common-sense government, actually try to do things the way they're supposed to be done. No man can ever put it back to where it used to be. It's impossible. But maybe we find a man who believes there is a God in heaven and that his laws are to be the supreme law of the land. And maybe he could bring back common sense government and people could have a choice on who to vote for that could actually show some repentance in the people's heart and wouldn't have put a man in office that is able to stand for what's right and will stand for what's right. We'll see. I don't look for third party up. I really don't. Getting kind of late in the game already. But what's coming up in 2020, just not too long from now, about a year from now, it's going to be maybe a scary ride. Only time will tell that. I have no idea what the future holds. But I do know this for a fact. We'll get more of this in a minute. The future does hold a lot more, we'll say, police state tactics and control for this nation, no matter who's in office. We're heading down a very dangerous road. There are people that say they proclaim liberty and freedom. And what's going to mean to us? Back at the break, don't go away. This is Pastor Butch Paul, Senator from Nellie Seastrom. Right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All right, folks, let's get back into it again. 800-375-4188. If you want to talk to Melody Cederstrom about her offer on Discount Gold and Silver, I think she has some specials on. I'm not going to guess at them because I don't want to mess anything up for her, but she always has specials going on. And I would urge you to call her. Just call her and talk to her. Let her know that you're there anyway. And perhaps think about some things that you might want to do for your future. So many things are so unstable, folks. The worst it's ever been in my lifetime. And I do know that the nation morally is being so polluted and so corrupted that it can't go much longer without a total collapse. But anyway, we've been talking about Illinois and its financial woes quite a while. But the cities in Illinois are having some financial serious trouble, seriously. Bankrupt Illinois cities forced to cut services to fund pensions. Now, let me repeat that. Bankrupt Illinois cities are forced to cut services to fund pensions. Illinois does not allow cities to file for bankruptcy, but that is the best word to describe many of them. East St. Louis is the latest. Illinois doesn't allow cities to declare bankruptcy. I don't know how that works for sure, but anyway. WirePoint reports third domino falls. Illinois comptroller set to confiscate. Now listen to this wording, folks. Illinois comptroller set to confiscate East St. Louis's revenues to pay for city's firefighter pensions. If they cut services like trash pickup and other things, what would that do to the city? But they're going to confiscate their funds to pay firefighters' pensions. On Tuesday, the East St. Louis Firefighter Pension Fund demanded that Illinois Comptroller Susanna Mendoza intercept more than $2.2 million of East St. Louis' city revenues so they could be diverted to the pension fund. Now, it's an intercept law here, folks. This is a law that they have to do that. They have to make sure the police and firefighters have their pensions. So they intercept general funds that go to services for the people in the city to pay the firefighters and policemen's pensions. And it's not the first city to do it. Harvey, Illinois done it. North Chicago's done it. East St. Louis now has done it. So I mean, it's three of them that can't declare bankruptcy, but they can't pay pensions, so they take the funds out of the general funds to pay pensions for people that otherwise would be cut. Now, I don't know how long they can do that. I mean, 2.2 million is just taken out of East St. Louis's pension to fund firefighters and policemen. Can't do it again next month and the following month. Do they look for revenues to go up again where they can afford to do this differently? I don't know. But right now, they're robbing Paul to pay Peter, or Peter pay Paul, however that goes. Eventually, Peter's going to run out of money. And then what will Paul do? I don't know what to do. They'll raise taxes. That's what government always does. If they can't pay the bills, that's not their problem. They just raise taxes to get what they want, and the people have no choice but to pay them or lose their property or go to jail or whatever. This is a system of politics in America. Politics, folks, politicians, government, now let this think in a minute, produces nothing as far as goods, services, as far as anything that brings in any kind of money. They do not produce anything. Governments are leeches. They're leeches. If the leeches are kept under control and managed, they can be used to fund things that people need and justified taxation to take care of certain things. But when government gets out of hand, it's absolutely, it will destroy a healthy body. It will destroy the people. Again, they're leeches. And when they get in the bind, they don't think about how they can't produce anything. They had nothing to produce and sell to make their own money. So they take it from you and I. We are seeing the government leech out of us every day, monies that we don't even think about. And it's getting tougher every day to pay the bills. So a lot of people I know have a hard time even paying property taxes, so they won't lose the home they paid for 30 years. In my mind, that's the worst kind of tyranny, to force someone to pay a tax on something they supposedly already own, or they'll lose it. That's the worst kind of tyranny, especially when they fund something they don't believe in, like public school system. That is absolutely a tyrannical. No doubt about it. And over the years, we've always heard about it's going to be an October surprise. October surprise. Well, Goldman Sachs says the market is about to get wild in October. Now, we've heard this kind of stuff before, but let's see what it says. Big price swings have been seen in each major stock benchmark and sector over the last 30 years, with tech and healthcare being the most volatile groups, Goldman said. We believe high October validity is more than just a coincidence. Volatility. We believe it is a practical period for many investors and companies that manage performance to calendar year end, Marshall said. For investors taking a breather from the chaos in August, buckle up as the market is about to go crazy again, Goldman Sachs warned. Wall Street is now inches away from reclaiming its record highs, but a rockier ride could be around the corner, as the stock volatility has been 25% higher in October on average since 1928, according to Goldman Sachs. To Goldman, big price swings have been seen in each major stock benchmark and sector in October over the past 30 years, with technology and healthcare being the most volatile groups. We believe high October volatility is more than just a coincidence, John Marshall, equity derivatives strategist at Goldman said in a note Friday. We believe it is a critical period for many investors and companies that manage performances to calendar year end. I don't know. We've always heard that October is one of the roughest months for the market and for the economy. I can't say yay or nay. I don't know. I'm not a company expert. But we'll see what happens. Goldman Sachs says more or less tighten your seatbelt, because here we go. And the markets are up almost up 27,000 again. And that's, I know in my lifetime, that would have seemed unheard of 20 years ago, but now it's every day. And nothing seems to shake the markets too bad to make it rattle a whole lot. It might drop 400 or 500 points one day and make it up the next day. Now, nothing much has really moved the markets to keep it down. So I have no idea. We will see what happens. But the financial situation is not just here in America. It is worldwide. And to tell the truth, folks, we in this country really as a whole have it made compared to a lot of countries. Economically, we still are very well off, a very well off people. Not everyone, and I'm not saying that for everyone, obviously I'm not. But compared to some of the world's standards, we're still a wealthy nation. Over the years, we've all gotten accustomed to being better off than most people, and perhaps to the point that we think that it's, we can't live without the niceties that we have as a nation. We become so used to the things that we take for granted and think that we can never lose them, they'll never go away, and nothing bad can ever happen, and we'll never get down to a third world status. Well, we can hope that and pray that it doesn't happen. But with this debt bubble, with all this facade of so-called prosperity, it's going to happen. I did a five-hour teaching one time in church entitled "The Satan's Final Deception" on Daniel 8:25, and what the word peace there meant as far as false security and prosperity to a nation. But anyway, Germany on recession's brink as factories slump. Germany is Europe's largest economic bloc. I mean, it's been prosperous. Germany had been that way for a long time, but now they're starting to face some problems. Germany's economy is on the brink of recession. According to a survey of purchasing managers, they recorded the sharpest fall in business activity in almost 7 years during September, reflecting the deepening hit to factories from the U.S., U.S. trade war with China, and uncertainty around the U.K. departure from the European Union. The downturn in Europe's largest economy has been led by its manufacturing sector, which heavily depended on exports and has been hit by weakening demand from the U.K. and China, Turkey, elsewhere, and elsewhere over the past year. But in September, the sector experienced an even sharper contraction as its purchasing managers' index slumped to 41.4 from 43.5 in August, hitting its lowest level in more than a decade. A reading below 50.0 points to a decline in activity. The manufacturing numbers are simply awful, said Phil Smith, an economist at IHS Market, which compiles the PMI. All the uncertainty around trade wars, the outlook for the car industry, and Brexit are paralyzing order books. Again, caution is the name of the game for businesses now. With everything so unsteady, everything so uncertain, you can't help but have to understand that these people are cautious. I mean, they stand a chance of losing a lot if things don't go the way that they think they should or will go. And that's why I urge you to err on the cautious side. If you're all tied up in IRAs and 401ks and some kind of retirement funds, I would highly, highly, highly recommend that you do some diversification of those things and get out of it in paper. I would highly recommend that, folks. Paper can disappear. It's a computer digit, and paper is paper. If something happens and the economy turns, all you're going to have is a piece of paper, nothing worth nothing. Again, tangible assets like gold, silver, a little bit of property perhaps, and a piece of land to work on, or storable food, or even the Berkey water field, or something you have that you need in case some things do go south, is only common sense. It's not rocket science to plan for something that is likely to happen any day. To put your faith in paper, computer digits, and think that that's going to be going on forever is really foolishness. It never lasts that way, never has, and never will. Now move on. As you know, we're still watching Iran, I suppose, and we're waiting to see what happens there and what's going to happen in the future. I don't know. Only God knows. I don't know if the leaders even know for sure. Although I have to, again, I'll say admire Trump's restraint on not jumping to the button and starting a war with Iran, as many want him to. If Iran actually did the attack, then I understand something must be done. I do understand that. But I don't know that they did. And even the Gulf countries, the Gulf nations, are not even sure they did. So I personally seriously doubt Iran had anything to do with this as far as directly. Maybe it came from the inside of Iran, from another group, but I don't think the Iranian government had anything to do with this. That's my opinion. But Iran vows major war even if U.S. conducts limited strikes. This will not be a war we go in and bomb for 3 or 4 days and save you one. It won't be that way. This will lead to a regional war that can spread around the world. Iran is not tiny little Kuwait. It's not. It's not something you're just going to walk in and take over before breakfast. Especially with Russia and China backing them. But the briefing on options for responding to Iran were followed by a late Friday Pentagon announcement that is deploying U.S. troops in Saudi Arabia as a first step, which could be followed by an additional kinetic move down the road. As the President has made clear, the United States does not seek conflict with Iran. That said, we have many other military options available should it be necessary. Now, we have many other military options if that had been necessary, but he doesn't want to go to war. That doesn't make any sense. Defense Secretary Mark Esper said in the briefing, Iran on Saturday responded to the move by declaring that any potential limited U.S. attack on Iran would certainly lead to rapid escalation. The head of Iran's elite Islamic Revolutionary Guard group, Major General Hossein Salamaya, said in remarks broadcast on state TV that no such limited strikes would actually remain limited. And I think he's right. I don't want to agree with Durant necessarily, but I want to stay limited. You know, it's kind of like two young boys in a block fighting. You do this to me, and I'll do this to you, and back and forth it goes to get a total fist fight, a total brawl. I don't think we want to go to war with Iran. I think we need to look at those who will benefit from this. It's not us, folks. The U.S. will not benefit in a sense that we're going to gain a lot very quickly. Maybe after a major war, we might take over Iran's oil. I don't think so. I don't think it'd be that easy done. But who benefits if a war starts, other than the war machine that produces the weapons to fight, that prospers and makes trillions of making weapons, or maybe even Israel, who likes to instigate a lot of wars in the Middle East to further her cause? Kay Bona, who profits? I don't know. I really don't know. And that's a question we got to ask ourselves. Before you get involved in anything, who's going to benefit from this? Will be the United States? Will be our people? No, it won't be that way. But Trump approves U.S. troop deployment to Saudi Arabia in response to Iran's attacks. Now, I'm going to read part of this to you. For the last 5 days, the world waited to see what, if any, would be Trump's response to last Saturday's attack on Saudi Arabia oil facilities that's taken out millions of barrels of crude production out of the markets for an indefinite period. Now, again, back to the comment made earlier, Saudi said it's already fixed. We'll see. Moments ago, we got the first official reaction when U.S. Defense Secretary Mark Esper said in lieu of an immediate military strike on Iran, the Pentagon will deploy additional troops and military equipment to Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates to beef up security. The defense security said that the Iranian attack, which we assume means it has been and now settled that Iran was behind the attack despite the lack of actual evidence and just more verbal confirmations a la the staged Syrian chemical attacks on Saudi oil facilities, was a dramatic escalation, and added that President Trump approved deployment of U.S. forces, clarifying that such deployment will be defensive. The president has approved the deployment of U.S. forces, which will be a defensive in nature and primarily focus on air and missile defense, Esper said at a news conference late on Friday. Well, I don't know. I don't know what to say on that. I don't know what, folks, again, I'm not, as most of us aren't, privy to the information that's really going on here, the inside information. We don't really know what's going on in behind the scenes. You know, there are times I don't think even the president knows what's going on behind the scenes. I'm sure that people are duped on all levels by false news. So sometimes I think they make quick decisions, snap decisions, and make the wrong decisions. Again, Mark Trump's patience with this and his wisdom to move slowly. Only time will tell what's going to happen with this. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. But I tell you this, we do not want to go to war with Iran. I say that sincerely. I'm not a prophet of any kind, I'm not saying that. But I don't think we would like the outcome. The whole world may not like the outcome. Back at the break for the final segment. Give Melody a call again at 800-375-4188. Don't go away. I need to hear it just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
All righty, folks, I am back in. Pastor Butch Paul sitting in from Ellie's Houston. I'm trying to do my best. I want to say I'm trying to fill her shoes, but I'm just doing the best I can to get the news out to you and maybe be a blessing to you and help Melody get some business coming in too, hopefully, because she got pay bills also. But again, Melody's Houston, in my experience dealing with gold precious metal dealers, Melody's Houston has been the most straightforward, honest individual that I have ever dealt with, and I've dealt with a few of them, folks, over the years. I will trust Melody's Houston above any of them to give me the best deal possible and be totally upfront with me. Again, 800-375-4188. And I know a lot of y'all don't know me from Adam, but I'm not, just certainly not bragging on me, because I'm just a man like everybody else. I'm just a mortal. But I try to speak the truth, and I try to speak my convictions. When I say someone is honest, you can take my word for the fact that when I say someone's honest, you can trust them. That I learned from experience, and it's coming from my heart, not just something trying to sell something. I don't make a commission off of Melody sales. That's not what I do. But I do trust her. Completely trust her to do what's right for me when I call and ask about something. Now back to some articles here. Now I want to get, this is going to lead to some areas maybe that aren't necessarily, we'll say, financial in the sense that it's not dealing with economics on our levels, but it is something to do with what's happening to the world when it comes to government control and government infringement upon what's left of our rights. But this is in Australia. Now, you're not going to believe this. Australian's cops now confiscate loose coins from cars because of safety concerns. I'm not making this up. Australian cops now confiscate loose coins from cars because of safety concerns. New South Wales police have come up with the most bizarre excuse to rob your money I've ever heard of. They now claim that driver safety is the main reason for the new initiative to confiscate whatever coins you have in your car. They have audacity to claim that loose coins within cars are a safety hazard. This is beyond ridiculous. They claim that a driver may perhaps bend down to pick up a coin and get into an accident. What's next? They confiscate your phone and then sell it back to you after you are done the driving. Australia has been perhaps the most aggressive country in the Western culture to hunt down its own citizens for money. They follow school children and then investigate how their parents are paying for their school. The Australian Tax Office has applied for access to everything to hunt for money. They want access to phone calls, emails, posts, and SMS text messages. Australians could face 2-year jail sentences and fines of $25,000 under proposed laws that limit the use of cash to $10,000 and move, some groups argue, would create an Orwellian state by giving authorities greater control over people's finances. The government's slogan, now listen folks, I'm not making this up. The government slogan, cash is for criminals. Well, my laugh is not funny. If anybody listens in Australia, I feel sorry for you. I do. Cash is for criminals. Thus was hidden in the 2018 Australian government budget, claiming it would save $5.3 billion by banning cash payments of $10,000 more. Australian Treasurer Scott Morrison said it was a crackdown on the black economy. Cash is for criminals. Folks, do you see a pattern starting worldwide? I mean, do you really? And a Penn State professor says social credit will shift law in the West from constitution to analytics and algorithms. Did you hear what I said? Social credit will shift law in the West from constitution to analytics and algorithm. Professor Larry Backer of Penn State University writes in 2018 paper that resistance to social credit systems in the West could be dissolved when the masses are socialized as a collective and the great culture management machinery of Western society develop a narrative in which such activity is naturalized within Western culture. Oh, surely you see that happening, don't you? Surely you see the young people in this country. Young people are being so dumbed down. Millions walked out of school over global warming when NASA says global climate change has been going on for centuries. It's natural. But you don't hear that on ABC News or CBN or CNN or any of the rest of them. You don't hear that NASA said global change or climate change is natural, because that's what nature does. We have children walking out of the school by the millions, little empty-headed mushmelons heads, saying that, well, we got to save the earth. Do you see that they're being brainwashed, folks, right into everything that they want the narrative to be, from the public food system and the control of the UN, all the UN Agenda 2030? They want socialism, so now they're going to talk about, literally, this is going to be, they're going to market to the students a social credit system. A 2018 paper written by prominent law professor Larry Backer of Penn State discussed the ways in which a social credit system could be implemented in the West. Backer writes that the shift in law with this system will change the focus of public law from the Constitution and rule of law to analytics and algorithm. Did you catch that? In the paper titled Next Generation Law, Data-Driven Governance and Accountability-Based Regulatory system in the West and social credit regime in China, Backer describes moves to social credit in the West as a fractured, but gives guidance on how social norms could be steadily pushed to accept this system. Backer proposes that the great culture management machinery of the West normalize the idea of social credit and sharing private data. Oh my. He goes on to say, but is it possible to socialize the masses, or even mass democracy as a collective, to embrace this pattern of data disclosure beyond these immediately self-serving closed-loop systems? Would it be possible for the state to develop systems for the enforcement of laws, criminal and regulatory, that depends on intelligence by inducing masses to serve as positive contributors of data necessary for enforcement or regulation? The answer in Western liberal democracies may depend on the ability of the great culture management machinery of Western society, its television, movies, and other related media, to develop a narrative in which such activity is naturalized within Western culture. In other words, they're going to brainwash us right into it. And I guarantee you, folks, it's going that direction. Look at the candidates running for office, especially on the Democratic side. Socialism is not coming. It is here. It is here now. Socialism started long before you and I were born. It started at least back in the 30s under Social Security. Listen to the name, Social Security. Socialism started long before you and I were born. And my dad and mom thought the best thing ever done. They thought that Roosevelt, back when they were still young'uns, and John L. Lewis, president of the UNW, young mine workers, were semi-gods. They were that kind of men that they just saved the country. Not realizing the socialistic and communist goals that they fulfilled under the promise of a chicken in every pot and car in every garage. They sort of kind of kept their promise. But what did it cost us? What did it cost us? Silicon Valley's final frontier for mobile payments, the neoliberal takeover of the human body. Now, folks, I've been telling this for years, that your biometrics will be what you will pay your bills with in the very near future. When you go into a store, you don't need a card, you don't need a phone, you don't need anything but biometrics, and soon your facial scan. You know people open their phones up with their face scan already? Do you know that, I'm going to read this to you, man, they can actually pay their bills in some stores with a facial scan off the phone? Do you know that's true? Cash is for criminals. Don't forget that. Do you see the system heading towards what the Bible calls the mark of the beast? And do you care? Ditching credit cards for facial recognition removes the last physical barrier between our bodies and corporate America. Aram Shinrick recently went grocery shopping at a Whole Foods market in the hometown of Washington, D.C., and realized he had left his wallet at home. He had no credit cards and no cash, but he had no reason to worry, at least not about paying for the food. I used my iPhone to pay, and I unlocked it with my face. That's when it struck him. We are just one small step away from paying with our bodily features alone. With in-store facial recognition machines, he wouldn't even need a smartphone. Shinrick, associate professor of communication studies at American University, said he got a glimpse of the future that day. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Folks, does anyone even care? Does anyone even care that the Word of God calls it the mark of the beast? Is anyone even concerned the way we're going? I know that I'm one of the older guys here today. Listen to this program. I realize that. I'm not listening. I'm on it, but I'm doing it. But I know, I realize I'm the older generation. But many people my age and older don't get it. They just don't get the beast system is getting in place for the final crackdown. And folks, if you're not prepared for that, and unless you die before, you're going to face this. Are you prepared to face it? Think about this. Let this sink into your heart and mind. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to tell you the truth. Eating meat could be banned like smoking, says top barista as he calls for a new crime of ecocide. Now, this isn't EU, but it's coming here. Eating meat could be banned like smoking, one of Britain's foremost barristers has predicted, as he called for the offense of ecocide to be introduced to prosecute those who damage the nature on a massive scale. Michael Mansfield, QC, warned that the farming of livestock for meat was destroying the planet and called for legislation to criminalize those who called global warming and the willful destruction of wildlife. You know, next month I'm going to go out and kill deer. You know why? Because I'm looking forward to the steak and the hamburger. That's me, and tenderloin. But anyway, in a message delivered at the launch of the Vegan Now campaign, which encourages people to stop eating meat and dairy, Mansfield said he had a single message to make ecocide a crime. I think when we look at the damage eating meat is doing to the planet, it is not preposterous. What do I say? What can I say? It's going down the road so quickly, I'm losing track of time here with all this. If this 15 years ago, this wasn't laughed at. 15 years ago, not been long ago. And it's here and it's real. Sheila Jackson Lee confuses AR-15 for 10 moving boxes and a heavy machine gun. Introducing her new gun control legislation today, Congress creator Sheila Jackson Lee, Democrat from Texas, proved conclusively that she's just too uninformed to go anywhere near the subject. She claims to have held an AR-15 in my hand, which weighed as much as 10 boxes that you might be moving. She also claimed the rifle fired a 50 caliber round and that these kinds of bullets need to be licensed and do not need to be on the street. If Lee wants to ban 90 round 50 caliber AR-15s, I say, why not? While she's at it, Lee could put a ban on flying cars, unicorns, and doing 7 impossible things before breakfast. If Lee wants to get heavy 50 caliber machine guns off the streets, well, first she's going to have to get some on the streets. This woman is so naive and so ignorant that she thinks an AR-57, which probably weighs about 6 pounds, 7 pounds, I'm guessing. I have one. I don't know. Shoots 50 caliber rounds. I got three of those right in front of me. I got three of those rounds in front of me right now in a coffee cup I'm looking at. 50 caliber rounds are huge. And she's going to ban a gun she knows nothing about. You know, this proves one thing to me. The only people that are more ignorant than people that are elected to office like her are the ones to vote for. What can I say? There it is. And if she's reelected, they went from being ignorant to stupid. But that's America today. We're ready for social credit. We're ready to have meat outlawed. We're ready to have cash, because cash is for criminals. We're seeing all this come together, and we wonder why our children are just unruly and disrespectful, and as a whole, that they don't seem to have any incentive to do anything other than just get by. We wonder why millennials are living with parents when they're 30 years old and older, and why grandchildren are raising, grandparents are raising grandchildren, because their mom and dad are still children at heart, and who knows, doing what, divorce perhaps, who knows. And yet we play with our future here. We play Russian roulette with the future, hoping that our financial system will hold together, that the nation is not going to fly apart, and we'll be able to continue down this road indefinitely. I think, folks, we need to look at reality and go from there. I think you need to back up, reassess where you are and what you're doing. Rethink. Now, I mean think. Don't just slide over it. Ponder what you have right now, what your future may be 5-10 years from now, if we're still here, 20 years from now, 30 years from now when you retire, whatever. Are you sure your retirement's going to be there? The policemen and firemen in Illinois, some of the cities are questioning the fact that although they're now robbing the cities to pay it, how long will that last? Isn't common sense, as the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, that when a prudent man sees trouble coming, he prepares himself for it? Isn't that common sense? 800-375-4188. You call Melody, tell her I sent you over. I don't get anything out of it as far as commissions, but that's not the point. You tell her I sent you over. And I pray that I did a good job today for her, and I blessed you all. And maybe it made some sense to you, okay? I guess I'm back with you tomorrow afternoon with Melody with us in too. So we'll see you there. Have a wonderful night. Good night.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.